Okay. Okay, question four. Yeah? Oh, you want the next slide? Okay.
At three, do you start there? I mean, like, you gave us not A or B, right? Is that what you did?
So you're trying, okay, so now this is more or less the hint, right? So we're trying to turn not A or B, with the answer going into C, into code, into ML3 code. And just following along in the slides, this is like, it's lecture 09, I think it is, row 7, 09? The compiler lecture. And it says, if the top node is a not, then what you need to do is first generate the code for what's inside the not, in this case A or B, and you want that code to leave the answer in the accumulator. So that's this whole block here. And when that's done, then the last thing you do is you say C equals, and the notes actually tell you what goes in here. So we do this top down. We start off by saying, this is an expression that mostly is a not. So what we're going to do is, well, do whatever you have to do to figure out this part. But when you're done that, then we need to do the not, and then we're done. So that's the way that has it in the notes. So if you step through it in the notes, and you're still stuck, then ask again. But there's a slide, and I actually show you the slide in the notes that corresponds to this. Yes, good. It's already preset because I was getting this question by email. So this is the slide. I'm not sure what number it is. But what it says to do is, oh no, this is an example. Sorry. This one. So this says, if you've got an expression that is not followed by anything, you do something like this. First, generate the code for the anything, and then when you're done, you execute this ML3 statement. If you're trying to put the answer in the accumulator, in this case we were trying to put the answer in variable C, so that's like P on this slide, which says generate the code, put in the answer in the accumulator, and then run whatever the thing is you're trying to put it in equals that.
How did you generate the code though?
Well, we're generating the code in this case for what? We're saying not A or B. So we need to generate the code for A or B. So that's an OR of two things. So there's a slide that says, if you've got an OR at the top, what do? First, you generate the code for the first thing, then you generate the code for the second thing, then you OR them. How do you generate the code for the first thing? There's another slide for that. Because you're trying to generate code for a variable, and so you do it that way. Each slide refers to the slide that you need to do this. It's mutually recursive. I think I even used that word. Yes, and I put ooh after it, because, you know, mutually recursive. Okay. All right, did that turn into another question or six? Yes.
I feel like every time I get homework, we never, like, really do this in class.
We really did, though. We really did, but I think what happens a lot of times is it's easy to just watch it go by. So let me show you the slide.
We never, like, really do examples, like...
But I really did. Okay, so here's the slide.
You never give us, like, examples. It's really specific.
This is the example. Watch. I said, here we got the expression, not A or B. How do you generate that? Here's the tree. It's exactly the same thing. It's just that it's easy to watch me step through it. It's harder when you actually have to do all the steps. And that's the whole point of the homework is, now you do it. So anyway, what this is, starts off with an OR for generating the code and putting the answer in the accumulator. The previous slide said, here's what we do. We generate for the first part of the OR, leaving the answer in a temporary variable. So we don't know how to do that yet, but then we generate the code for the second part, the B, leaving that in the accumulator, and then we execute accumulator equals accumulator OR temporary. So that's the same thing. So then we say, okay, but that's not complete yet because we haven't said how to do this. How do you do this? The slide says if you're trying to do a not of something, this is the thing I just said a moment ago, we generate the code for the thing we're taking the not of, which we don't know how to do yet, but when we're done that, then we take not, we do n equals not of accumulator. So the last little bit is, okay, how do we generate the code for A? That's that. How do we generate the code for B? That's that. And this is exactly analogous to what it shows in the notes, except I left some, I just put blanks on top.
So the code's gonna be like an A or B?
Maybe. The code for, let's see. Right, so this is a little more familiar now. So this is going to have to be some ML3 statement. So it's going to be something equals something. This one is going to be either a variable or accumulator. That's the only thing that can possibly fit in this kind of expression. And this one is C equals, and then something on the right. So it's something with the variable and the accumulator maybe, and maybe a not or an or, whatever is the appropriate thing. So this is going to be a full expression. This is just the left-hand side. This is just the right-hand side. But you can map it sort of line by line almost to the example in the notes. That was my intent.
All right, and then you get the answer before.
Okay. Well, no, they're not dependent. One of the things I did on the homework is make sure that if you lost it in one of the intermediate problems, it didn't make it so that you couldn't solve any of the later ones. So I did slightly different examples for each one. So this one, this is equivalent code to what was on the previous slide, but you don't need what was on the previous slide. This is saying, how do you say in the ML3 codes, how do you say accumulator gets A? How do you say accumulator is accumulator or B? How do you say C equals not accumulator? So there's a slide for that in the notes. This one, this is the slide, which tells you, basically it tells you the direction of, if I tell you the bits, what instruction does that turn into? And here's an example where if the bits were 10110000, that becomes the statement I equals accumulator and I. But once you understand the way that this is generated forward, you can actually reverse it and say, oh, if I'm trying to make, you know, A equals accumulator, well, so that's a store instruction, so the first bit's going to have to be a 1. Then it's equals accumulator, it's this kind of instruction. So the next two bits are 10. Then we need the identifier for the variable. Which variable did I say?
A.
So then you put in the variable name for A, which is 0000. That's on a different slide. So you can just generate it forward like that. So this is the magic slide for that question. So each question generally has a magic slide. And I toyed with the idea of actually on each question saying the answer to this question appears on slide such and such. But I tell you that information. I don't put it in the actual homework. But if you want that information, I give that information. Some people don't need it. I think. We'll see. Sure, no problem. All right? You good? Go ahead.
The midterm, we can have Arno's in.
Yes. Yes. And I will only ask questions that have the little magic yellow box. So, for example, on homework 3, question 1, question 2, question 3, but not question, notice that a lot of the questions I'm getting are about the other ones. Not question 4, not question 5, not question 6. And if I ask one of the other questions, you can give me a hard time. If I make up something entirely new, you can scowl at me. It's cool. I'm okay with that. Go ahead.
Last class, I asked you if you had the answers on the.
Yes, I'm now ready to release them. I will release them after class today. For homework 1, homework 2, Monica hasn't done the sample examples, but she's about to. And homework 3, some people haven't handed it in yet, but if you've handed yours in and would like to see the sample answers, I could do that. All right. Yes?
Do we know the structure of the
team
yet, like how many questions
are? It'll be probably too few. Like what I try to do is make up questions that will take the right amount of time, and then I panic and throw half of them away, and then everybody's done halfway through the time block. So it'll probably be, each of the ones that are marked in yellow are fair game, so I'll ask probably one of each of those, maybe two of some of them. It depends how fast I feel like you can actually answer them. Yeah?
Two
questions. That's 1-0 in mine. Good.
So you figured out how to do one of them or whatever now? And how are you submitting it again? If you already submitted it, can you do that again on the website?
So Sakai won't let you, except under, so there's two ways you can go. Either just email them to me and I'll make sure that Monica gets it so that she can score it the same way she scored the others. Or email me saying that you'd like to resubmit through Sakai, and I think I can actually point my finger at Sakai and say, let this student resubmit. And then you'll have a window in which you can get that back onto the website.
And for the extra credit, what if you kind of did it and you just explained how it's done?
Then you could get partial extra credit, I suppose. I mean, what I'd really like is if you actually, oops, sorry, I fell on. Actually make it so that it runs, right? So that you mail it to us and we can actually put it into Python and then the song will appear. That's the goal, but if you can get short of that goal, that's still worth something. Okay? Getting there? Gotten there? Done, all right.